Today on the Accounting For You podcast, we're continuing our conversation with Dwayne Johnson from Hometown Payment Solutions, continuing our conversations on credit card processing and what that means for you and your business.
Welcome to the Accounting For You podcast, brought to you by the accounting firm of Adkins & Reynolds CPAs. This podcast is designed to provide relevant tax and accounting information to help you and your business succeed. If you enjoy listening in, please like and subscribe to our channel. Now, on to the show.
One thing I wanted to go back to when you were talking about the chance of lost revenue of why to possibly offer credit cards instead of being cash basis, to a smaller extent, I see it all the time. You know, you go through a drive-thru at a restaurant, first thing they'll tell you, before you order, I'm sorry, our credit card machine's down, and we are only taking cash. And in the society that we're in now, and I see it with my kids and a lot of younger kids, they don't carry cash. So that's a big deal. And then another thing that we've seen, and other businesses that carry accounts receivable, there's a time value of money. And a lot of times, customers, clients will tend to pay a lot quicker if they're given the option of a credit card versus a check.
Yeah, 100%. And I'll kind of throw it back to something you said a minute ago about the card you had that wasn't being accepted because it's a rewards card.
Yes.
That's why a lot of businesses want to do that.
Right.
You know, they want to pay those accounts receivable by a credit card because the owner gets two flights a year out of it.
And we see that a lot, too.
Yeah. I mean, so it is definitely a time value of money thing because especially in an accounts receivable type world where you're billing people, we can actually set up a pay link that can go in an email with an invoice or in the body of the invoice that you ship out that somebody can sit. I could pay a bill right here. Sitting in this room, I can click on it, put my credit card information in, hit paid, and it's done.
Right.
A lot of people like that convenience. We are becoming a society of don't bother me's. You know, gosh, I got a letter. I've got to open it. Mm. I have to sit down. I have to write a check. Then I have to put a stamp on the envelope. Right. And then I got to get it to the post office. Oh, my God. I'm not paying this bill. Hell, that's a lot of work. Right. I mean,
yeah.
But I kind of laughingly talk. We have a mutual friend that works with us that we do her processing. And she told the funniest story. When we initiated those pay links, she was at home at like 10:30 and got a text from one of her customers that said, "Why didn't you do this years ago?" And she was like, "Oh, well, you know, just didn't have technology. Sorry." He said, "It's the greatest thing ever. I'm sitting here watching TV in my underwear and I just paid you." And it's like, she was like, "I really appreciate the payment, but TMI on the other side of it, hope the show's good, you know." But it's all about convenience.
Yes. Right. And we've seen that a lot in our business, and I'm sure other businesses mm-hmm. have too, mm-hmm. that the convenience along with the rewards are very big to a lot of people.
It is. And again, it does go, especially if you're a new business. I mean, cash flow is king. I mean, whether it's cash flow from a credit card deposit or an ACH deposit or somebody handing you cash or a check, it's still cash flow. Mm-hmm. The other side that's nice on ACH or credit card in a business setting is, I mean, if you're, you know, most new businesses, you're it. You know, chief bottle washer, window washer, inventory person, counter worker. So if you get in at 7:30 or 8 so that you can open at 9 and you don't leave till 6:30, when are you going to the bank?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a pile of cash sitting here, but it's a pile of cash sitting here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't do anything with it because I can't get to the bank. So it is a lot of elements. And again, I kind of go back to it's always been the cost of it. That's really non-existent now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to set it up that way. So it really does just become that time value money and cash flow and being able to get my money, you know, no matter what kind of business you are.
Yeah, and in our business, you know, we obviously, you know, we have a subscription-based accounting services. Mm-hmm. And when a new client comes in the door, we set you up on a monthly, you know, automated transaction on the first of every month. It's convenient for the business owner because the business owner knows their fixed fee for our accounting services mm-hmm. and what we're going to provide. But it also provides us the ability to know on the second of every month, we're going to have deposit come in.
Yep.
And it allows us to smooth out our cash flow through the year. And the cost to do that Yeah, I mean, there's a small cost, but honestly, it's less than a postage stamp. Mm-hmm. So businesses that were service industries that billed, mailed bills out, you know, that completely changes, and actually your costs seem to go down because, hey, I don't have to buy an envelope, and I don't have to buy the stamp, and I don't have to have someone run to the post office, and it's almost certain cash flow, mm-hmm. certain days of the month, however you've got that set up.
So, and it may allow a business to not borrow money,
right.
pay the associated costs with that, because the cash flow is smoothed out a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, you do work for somebody all year long. I mean, and that's a $6,000 bill because you've done their financials, you've done all their reporting, their taxes. It kind of goes back to that once a month big bill.
Right.
You know, you send them an invoice in January or April or whenever it is.
Right.
They're sitting there, man, where am I going to get this $6,000 to?
Right.
Bam, I can't get rid of them. I've got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, help me, let me do it over $500 a month.
And it is especially valuable for businesses like ours that tend to be more seasonal.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helpful there too.
Yeah. So in what I was talking with the ACH processing, that's, you know, we've talked a little bit about that. Now, I've read some or heard some in other podcasts that the ACH world is getting ready for maybe a potential change with this FedNow.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to speak to?
Really, it's not going to change, but it's going to change.
Okay.
What's going to change is the mechanism behind it. FedNow is going to be a little bit of a pay now kind of vehicle. ACH is your old typical, I put an ACH in today, mm-hmm. it goes to the bank processes it, they send the money, it really doesn't hit your account till maybe a day or two later, depending on your bank, when they post the ACH that they received.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that 2 to 3 day, and it's business day. FedNow is going to almost make it I put it in, bam, it's in your account. Now, I've not seen it work, so I don't know how quick it is, but it is going to take some of that timeline out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest change now, and where it's so new, we haven't really even seen how we're going to integrate with it, where the connections are going to be. I'm excited for it in the payment side of it for business, for getting your money quicker.
Right.
Nervous on my side of business just because anytime you break out new rails like that, you know, oh, yeah, it'll be there tomorrow. 4 days later, I'm calling, hey, where's this dude's money?
I mean, yeah.
why doesn't he have his money that you said would be there at 6 o'clock that evening? Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it'll be interesting. I'm excited, but tentatively nervous also.
Yeah, makes sense.
Kind of along that same lines, you know, for those new businesses, you know, that don't use you guys or use it and use you guys, QuickBooks is marketing genius has got it out
right.
to that every new business needs QuickBooks. You know, that's their line. They do processing. Mm-hmm. They are awful. Their average cost on processing is about 4.5%. We have, especially if they're invoicing and sending out, we have a software overlay that if somebody's using that we can actually get our processing cost on that QuickBooks. It does the invoice right from QuickBooks. It does everything back. It'll repost when it's paid. And you can do ACH through that too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing that we're seeing and talking to people about right now, because it is. QuickBooks is, again, it's the marketing giant in the room. And
Yeah. I have clients that use the payment, and I've, you know, I always cringe when I know mm-hmm. they're using QuickBooks yep. payment. So.
So I need to talk to you afterwards about them.
We can do that. All right. So do you have any, you know, like big success stories that, you know, where you've worked with a client, you know, new, and maybe couple that in with working with their accountant, any kind of success stories like that?
I'll kind of loop back to the one big account, the big merchant that we have that has the 45 locations. Yeah, we were able to come in and, as I said, save them close to $1 million. And working with their accountant that first year, that she just didn't believe us. It was like, not really. It was like, no way. Because yeah. I've always been, that's always been my expense item right there. You know, mm-hmm. that's the fees for you guys. Yeah, they're gone.
Right.
And it really has been interesting talking with accountants on that as we've kind of made those go away for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say I've had some real good success with referrals in from accountants that, you know, have kind of what you said, they've cringed when they've seen a statement, you know, and they've seen somebody processing $10,000 or $15,000 and they're paying $300. You know, why are you paying so much for that amount?
Right.
So, you know, have great relationships. I'm going in there and I see it as a win-win. I go in and I'm kind of the fixer, but you guys are the hero, you know.
Cause, well, we like to think so.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. and you know what? I'm good with that because mm-hmm. I'll be that fixer and you're the one that brought me in and you saved those people money.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're everybody they talk to. Hey, you got to talk to Chris and Jay. They saved me money. They helped me out. They do it. It's all about that partnership of, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care to have any credit. I'll go in and work with them, take care of them and fix them and let you guys get all the credit.
Yeah.
So I'm all about that. But, you know, I'll kind of say thanks to you. You know, you got me in at one of your all's customers and we helped them mm-hmm. get set up in really just taking cards.
Right.
You know, and it's, so far, it's worked good for them. I don't think it's really fully taken off the way they would have liked it to, but it's new.
You know, right.
It's a service based where they've never paid for it via credit card before.
Right. Well, yeah. If you have a business that's been open 10, 15 mm-hmm. years, you know, it's been cash, check, money order, and all of a sudden now you accept credit cards, it's a retraining of those
yep.
of your customers to even know that you accept it.
Yeah. So. And it all kind of came about. Kind of what we're talking about, what we've kind of talked on, was cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were needing to get payments a little quicker on some of the stuff that they were doing.
Right.
And as I said, it's helped in some, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see a little more for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what about, you know, as a business owner that takes credit cards and what about some security issues there? What, I'm sure that's a whole topic out there of the proper way to store cards, but you know, let's talk about, you know, security for the business owner and then as a customer too.
Okay.
You know, if I'm using my credit card out, do you have any security tips for
yes.
for those people?
For the merchants or your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Two big things. One is don't ever keep any credit card information. I mean, that's just a hard and fast rule.
Okay.
Now, I will caveat and say I know people do, you know, especially for those businesses that, hey, I sell to this guy all the time. He gave me his credit card number.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens to that card on your watch, it's your responsibility. Whether he gave it to you and said you could do it, whatever.
Doesn't matter.
if you do keep those, don't keep it in a little card box on top of your desk. Lock them away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do keep them secured. Because Visa can come in, or MasterCard or Discover or whatever card it was, they can come in and fine you up to $2,000 per every instance that card was used if that data was lost.
Now, is that different? You say, obviously, don't keep it somewhere on your desk. I know many times, a lot of times, like medical bills, for example, it seems like every time I'm presented with that option mm-hmm. of, would you like your card stored here?
Yes.
So on the website, is that different?
It is. That, and I'll kind of use you guys as an example. You use our portal to do your billing. We take on the onus and the security of holding those card numbers. So it does not affect you. If mm-hmm. we're breached, it's our responsibility at that point. So the only place to allow card data to be stored is if you're using a portal of some kind to do those transactions, it's okay at that point. Just don't have it on paper laying around a box or anywhere where somebody can grab it.
Right.
Second thing is, and I know this is a little cost prohibitive because mm-hmm. it can get expensive. It's really good to get a networking person in to look at your network if you're on the internet. If you're old school, which there's very little bit that are on a phone line, that really doesn't matter. A lot of people don't really realize you can't hack a phone line. You can hack an internet line, can't hack a phone line. But if you are on the internet, you really need to get somebody to come in at least one time and look at your network. Make sure that you're closing ports on your routers that aren't being used. That's how these people get in. They are they're really good at it. I mean, really good. I often say if they'd use half the effort that they use to hack places on something good, we'd have a great world. But yeah, they don't. That's why we have PCI compliance and firewalls and all that stuff. But if you have them do it once and you're not really changing a lot of things and moving around, it's good. You guys, I know, use Joe Smith at JDS Networking. Joe is a PCI compliance authorized vendor. So he knows how to help and set up stuff for your PCI compliance. Kind of segue there a little bit. PCI compliance is a pain, and I don't make any bones about it. Chris and I have this conversation once a year. It is a questionnaire that you do really need to do. And it protects you because it does determine where you're at, what you're using, how could somebody breach you, and gives you that, okay, here's what you need to fix.
If it's not.
So get your network looked at, do your PCI, and don't store card data. I guess that's actually three things I said too, but
that's okay.
The two kind of go together. Now, as a individual, we all have our cards. There's, at this point now, there's 4/5 ways that you can transact a card. There's the old way of swiping a card. I'm old enough, Jay, you probably too, the other two in the room probably not. I go back to Knuckle Buster days. If you remember a Knuckle Buster, you'd go to Belk or Stone and Thomas downtown. Yes. They would have this little carbon copy slip.
Yes.
They would put your card in there. It would go across. Absolutely. And it was the Knuckle Buster. But now
I've used those.
Yeah.
Actually, in some of my first jobs, I actually had to use those.
So. You're older than I thought you are. Swipe was the original. That's the MagTech strip on the back.
Right.
That of the five is probably first or second least safe. Chip is the second, and that's where we insert our cards. And that's a digitalized chip that gives your data versus the mag strip. It's hard to replicate. You can't recreate a chip on a card. You can recreate the mag strip, but you can't recreate the chip. So that's the next safest. That's probably the bottom end of the safest. In between those is keyed in. And if you're keying in cards, this kind of goes towards businesses and merchants. I mean, businesses and customers. It's not necessarily the safest, but as long as you put all the data that it asks for in, it can become safe. When you key a card in, it's going to ask for an address, a zip code, and the CVC, the 3 or 4 digit code, either on a Visa or MasterCard Discover or 4 digit on American Express. The more information you put in, the safer the transaction is. And for the merchant, the cheaper the transaction is.
Right.
And the reason is it's a risk assessment. Visa charges more on keyed in cards. I say Visa. All card brands charge more on keyed in cards because they're assuming more risk that's maybe a stolen card or somebody's just gotten the number and is keying it in or calling it in over the phone. The next evolution of cards payments was your Apple or Google Pay. That's a Bluetooth connection. For the most part, pretty safe. There are ways to hack those Bluetooth communiques. But in general, I would say that's probably the second safest. And now we're all starting to get them. Everybody's at this point at least probably has one, I would think, are the new chip tap cards. And that's a infrared communication is what that is. There's a little chip in there that communicates infrared with the readers. Those are actually the safest communiques because they can't get that data out of that infrared. So I tell people, especially at this time of the year when you're traveling, as much as you can tap anywhere you go, tap, because that's the safest. You're not going to get your card hacked. It is true. You can put readers over top of the readers at gas stations. It'll read your card, pump your gas, but it read it twice. The first one read it to steal your data. The second one read it to pay your gas. Mm-hmm. And they will put those on and let 20 or 30 or 40, 50 people go through and then go take the reader off and go put it somewhere else. So that's a chip transaction, you know, but they're reading it and creating a mag strip and getting the data and going in and keying cards.
I'm guessing on that, the average person, there's no way to know that there's a reader in there. No. So there's no defense stopping
that. We're starting to see it. It's not there yet. And it's kind of just the same evolution that we've seen at gas pumps, with just now really getting a lot of chip reader gas pumps. You know, it was always a swipe, you know, and it's just technology. It's an expense for the gas stations to put those chip readers in. We're now starting to see a few tap readers at gas stations. Mm-hmm. Again, that will be an evolution, just in its equipment thing.
Right.
So
you mentioned, as far as key punching the cards in for the business, there could be some extra expense. On the business side of things, is there really any difference as far as a swipe, an insert, or a tap for the business?
No. Okay. No, those all transact at the same cost.
Okay.
It's just the keyed in. They're taking that added risk factor in. And it can be substantial. I mean, it could be a 0.5% to 0.75% difference. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Dwayne, we really appreciate you coming in and talking about all of this kind of stuff. Is there anything, you have any final thoughts, any kind of thing you want to, that we didn't get to talk about, that you're just burning to talk about?
No, I really can't think. I really want to say how much I appreciate you having me on.
And yeah. Thank you.
I hope I didn't overtalk or overstay my welcome. Hopefully you'll have me back again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, there's been a lot of helpful information.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll get it out, but if anybody needs to talk to us, I will say one thing. You know, October comes rate season increase. Mm-hmm. Card brands will raise their rates in October typically. It's a great time to do a review on your statement.
Okay.
Because, and this is actually a very good point I should have said earlier, card brands have the right to raise their rates by only publishing it on the statement before that they raise it. And if you run a card, let's just use now, if you got your statement in July, in the messages in that statement, it said you're going to have a 10 basis increase in your rate. If you run a card on August 1st, you accept those terms. Mm.
Even though I don't get my statement until August 3rd?
Well, it was your July statement.
Oh, okay. So I did get it before.
Okay. And that's what they say.
Okay.
It was your July statement.
So read your statements. That's what you're telling
read
me.
Read your statements. And like I said, coming up now, you're going to start getting those where those rate increases are going to happen. It's a good time to review. You know, that's a great time to reach out to me and let me look at it. And if I can save you money, I'll tell you I will. If I can't, I will tell you I will.
Right.
That's the thing that we stand on is, you know, we're not going to try and force you to do something. I mean, if you're in a good spot, stay there.
Right.
I mean, there's no sense in it.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Jay, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, I was just going to say that, again, as we always talk to business owners, you need to understand the type of business that you're doing. You know, if you're taking credit cards, you need to understand the fee structure, how it works. A big thing we talked about, am I working with someone where maybe I don't have the support if there's problems, like Dwayne would give with his company? So it's really important to understand all aspects of your business.
Yeah. And in addition to that, also knowing how these credit card transactions affect your accounting records, because if you don't know how they're going to filter into your accounting records, that could be a big problem, because you may have a problem reconciling your bank accounts now because all of a sudden you're accepting these credit cards. You don't understand how the fees are coming in or how they're not coming in. So that's how we can work with you as the accountants and with our CPA managed bookkeeping services to help you with those kinds of transactions, to make sure everything's getting accounted for properly. Because if we have clean books, we have good financial records, we have proper tax returns, we can do better tax planning. It all comes full circle with all of it. So, all right. Well, if you guys don't have anything else, I think we've done a pretty good job at this. And Dwayne, we really appreciate you coming in. I think I've already said that, but we really do.
Yes, we do.
And if you want to get a hold of Dwayne, his information will be in the show notes, how to get a hold of him. We'll have all of that linked there. Obviously, if you want to talk to me or Jay, Our information, again, is in the show notes, and you can find us through all the proper channels there to give us a call. But other than that, we'll see you on the next Accounting for You podcast.
Thank you for taking time today to listen to our podcast. We appreciate listeners like you and ask that if you enjoy what you hear, please like and subscribe to our channel to ensure you receive the latest episodes as soon as they come out. If you have any questions about the topic we discussed today or would like more information on becoming a client, please do not hesitate to contact our office by visiting arcpas.com or theaccountingpodcast.com.